Hello, Survivor fans. Here we are, finale podcast, last one of the season, in a great season, Titans and Rebels. Just before we start, minor audio issues from about halfway. My audio is slightly quicker than the other two's, and it just sort of jumped in front of them, so sometimes I'll interrupt them while they're talking. Don't really know why. We're changing software in the off-season. We're going to go somewhere bigger and better, so hang in there with us. Thanks for another great season. Thanks to all our guests throughout the season. Obviously, yeah, Michelle on this podcast, Leah Jacobson last week, CK, Joseph Bates, and we kicked it all off with Christy Bennett. So a pretty stacked guest list. It's been a great season. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed this finale podcast. Thanks, guys.
Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter Podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans with superfans for superfans. I'm your host, Buckle, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckle's my man. I am fantastic. Titans and Rebels is over. We have our winner, Ferris. What a great win. Super satisfying for all the fans, I think. I think he's played a great game. And it sort of caps off what was a fantastic season. And I guess we'll get into like where it sits in the pantheon of Survivor seasons, but to me, it's a top tier season.
Top tier season, top tier podcast. I did call this at the start of the season, so I bet you wondered how long it'd take me to say that. But before we get into talking about the season as a whole, let's welcome in our guest. We have the runner up of Sydney Survivor Season 1, and of course, what she's most known for, her page, Australian Survivor Fans, on Facebook, the biggest Facebook page ever. We got Michelle Pierce Dunavan. Yeah.
Woohoo. Thank you. I don't think it's the biggest ever, but it is the biggest Survivor one. Yeah, correct.
The biggest Survivor. The biggest Survivor one. 29,000 people following it. Soon to be 30,000. That's going to be an exciting celebration for you. Please tell me you're having a party or something for that.
Oh God, really? I don't know. I'd have to definitely invite George.
Yeah, I'd definitely. Well, he's at a lot of these parties these days. He seems to be everywhere.
Well, so yeah, he's George, definitely George, around. And he likes a party, so you know, he's good to have.
He's definitely good to have. Michelle, tell us what you thought of this season. Tell us what you thought about the winner, Ferris.
Well, the thing with Ferris is that before it started, I go through all the bios, I watch all of them, I read about them, and then I'm in this fantasy league and you need to give your captain of your team and then three people underneath it. So you have a team of four, basically. So I went through everybody and I thought, oh, God, there's so many people here who are fans, super fans, who will obviously be players, know what they're doing. So it was really hard for me to make the list and make an order. So hard that I had Mark as number five. Ooh. He was just out of my top four because I knew he was a good player, but I just saw things in these other people. And obviously I had Ferris as number one. I just saw something in him. And I still haven't – the Fantasy League results have not come out yet for the comp I was playing, so I'm dying to see if I actually won. But, you know, I had him up there with Eileen – and Valeria and Eden. And they were my top four, with Mark just coming out of it because I didn't know whether I should keep Eden up there or Mark. So I'm really happy. I mean, just, you know, his name, Ferris, my favorite movie of all time is Ferris Bueller. And so it was like I was drawn to him regardless. So, yeah, I'm really happy that he won.
Yeah, great. I just want to, first off, just congratulate Buckles.
Yeah.
He's been talking about all season, Ferris. This is Buckles' winner pick. And I feel like I'm not going to hear the end of it because he got D in season 45. He's got Buckles. He's on two in a row. And he's bebopping and scatting everywhere. He's so excited. So good on you, Buckles. Another win for you. Much better than my winner pick, Frankie, who went home first boot. So it's almost poetic, you know. Yes, Wade.
No way.
Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yep.
Yes, that's right.
Well, it's tragic. He's last, I'm first. We're first on either end.
Well, look, she had it on paper, great player, but just didn't translate to the game. And, you know, it probably doesn't show who the better podcaster is or who's more knowledgeable about Survivor. Don't judge us based on this. I don't think that's fair.
Buckles has got last season's winner pick, this season's winner pick, and Max player got out first. So don't judge us at all. You can't judge us on those figures.
It's hard not to judge, isn't it?
Are we here to eulogise Frankie again, or should we get into a bit of Ferris? Should we get into the Buckles winner pick, if you didn't know?
Let's get into a winner. And the truth is, I definitely came into this week thinking Kirby was going to win, so... Don't judge me on that thinking. So we all make mistakes at this stage. But Ferris as a winner, holy crap, what a great game. And this was a game so different from games that we've seen in the past. I think we saw more of his game than they saw out there on the island. And I think that was proven with the final tribal council. His brilliant reads, his subtle moves, just the idol play and how he used that idol to defend himself for 31 fucking days is so different from anything we've really experienced. We do talk about the beta winner in Australian Survivor. And I believe out there, they may have even thought of him as a little bit of a beta winner behind Kirby. But at Final Tribal Council, he was able to talk about some of them. I think a lot of them were hard to talk about. But he was able to talk about some of them, and it came out, and this is just so different from any winner we've experienced. And I'd love to know from both of you, we'll start with Michelle, in any franchise, who do you compare him to?
I'm thinking there's no one really like him, but for gameplay, I don't know, Tony keeps coming up in my mind. But not really. He's very individual because he's a bit, he's subtle, but then when he needs to be, he'll go all out.
Yeah.
Hard to equate him.
I'm glad you answered it like that because the truth is, Michelle, unless Mac can give us an answer, I'm actually in a very similar situation. He is so unique. He is a complete individual. And yes, he can take bits and pieces from other Survivor players. But unless Mac can answer this now, which I'm going to send it to him in a second, I don't think there's anyone.
There's no winners that are identical.
Like,
but I guess there's parts of his game which are similar to other people. I would say one that sort of jumped out to me was Nick Wilson from David vs. Goliath. The way where in a fluid game, he was able to jump in and out of alliances with different people from different tribes. And I think that's Ferris's biggest attribute, especially in this game. When the game is so fluid, you need to be adaptable on a dime. Being able to have social bonds where you can jump on with random people for this vote and go somewhere else the next vote and have options. If you get too stuck in your ways and too rigid, it's not a winning game in this game. So if this game wasn't as fluid as we saw, I don't think Ferris wins because... Maybe he needed to be more rigid. But in this game where everyone was happy to work with each other, everyone was happy to do voting box, the plans were changing all the time. The week to week was so hard to predict. He capitalized the most on that. And that's probably his best part of his game is his flexibility, adaptability, and that social bond with everyone that allows that to happen.
Fuck yeah. Look, Nick Wilson is probably, like, now that you say it, I can definitely see it. I think also if we talk about sort of where Australian Survivor is in that voting block era, they sort of match up reasonably close. Obviously, Australia is probably still a few seasons behind, but reasonably close. So I do like that as an option for how close they are. But at the same time, the loyalty that Ferris had with his ride or dies, I think, is even more than Nick had. I think Ferris really played such a loyal yet strategically deceitful game. It was a masterpiece. It was a work of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You say loyalty, and he sort of brought it up in his final tribal council. He had his sort of three misfit alliances in Garrick, Eileen, and Raymond. And it's sort of funny how throughout the whole game, they were sort of one by one getting voted off, but never in a row. Always like one here. So Garrick went at 17th, he came. Eileen went at 11th, and then Ray came 4th. So sort of every, you know, few weeks out there, he would lose one person, but he would have enough people around him to, I guess, still be insulated as the numbers got smaller. His numbers also got smaller, and he would still have, like I said, those social bonds with the other side, if you will, the Titan side, where he could jump in with Mark for a bit, jump in with Galen for a bit, sort of have the options. Yeah, then he got back with Kirby, so Kirby became a number for him as well. So he always left options open. And I think for any Survivor player, that is the most important thing, is never cut anyone off. Always be open to a new plan the next day. Because when you start dismissing people, when you start saying, this is my people, I'm not with you anymore, that's when you sort of get caught up. And if things go wrong, they can unravel. You can still play a winning game by doing that, but you're limited to the way you can play.
All right, Mac. Now, I'm going to push back at that just a little bit. I predominantly agree with everything you've said, but this post-merge game, I don't think Ferris was so much playing with everyone. I think he kept the conversation open with everyone, but it was very rare that he actually swung back to any other tribes, whereas Kirby, I think, was a bit more fluid when they came to that sort of stuff. After the Eden vote, where he goes over to Caroline, so he's gone over to Caroline, gets Winner out, then he comes back to the Rebel Strong and gets Eden out. He stays predominantly Rebel Strong, other than voting out the Challenge Beast of the Season and then Kirby. Correct?
Yeah, well, he also gets Alex
which
out.
Which are two of the bigger threats, and they're different threats.
Yeah, no, for sure. But like, he's working throughout that just with sort of everyone. He gets Alex out as well. With the round of vote, he's working with the other side, with the Titan side. When it comes down to the final 5 and 4, he's making deals with Mark and Carolyn. And it's obviously enough of a deal to secure him safe passage. So I would say it is fluid enough, more fluid than any other Rebel, I would say. Even Kirby.
I see what you're saying there. I like it. All right, Michelle, what are your thoughts on this?
I think the same as you in that he talked to everybody, trying to keep them, you know, in his circle, but he always only had he only wanted to be with Raymond right at the end. You know, we don't really know what he was thinking about Kirby, whether he would have taken her at the end or not. I mean, I wouldn't have. Unless you're in a really tight alliance and you've been with them since the beginning, then I wouldn't have taken someone who had a better game than I did, or anyone who had an equal game than I did. So I just think he just played on everybody, kept them all close so that he had a chance. If he had to move to a different alliance, he would have the social backing to be able to do it.
With what you said there, Michelle, like, I think we're going to change this up. Usually the finale will talk about the final tribal council, but I think the Kirby vote is so much bigger than that. Just Ferris's dilemma on, does he vote Kirby out or does he not? And I believe the edit was trying to show us that if Mark was an option, Ferris genuinely votes out Mark. Correct? Everyone agree with me?
Yeah.
All right. So what happens if both Kirby and Mark are an option?
Mark.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm not 100% sure because, like, you know, Kirby is such a big part of his game and a big part of his final tribal speech as well. And I guess the question is, how late can you leave it with a shield? Like, especially when that shield wins immunity challenges. Like, how far can you take them to the end? How close can you get? If you try and fly too close to the sun and you carry her into final four, yeah, you know, she's only two challenges away from winning the whole game. So it's an educated risk if you want to do that. I'm not sure if Mark was not immune, like where that would have gone. I think it's a really tough one.
Yeah, it really is, because Mark's also, in theory, the only person that can beat Kirby in immunity challenge. He's the only one really sort of giving her a go. So that pretty much says if you take Kirby there and get out Mark, you're pretty much saying, Kirby, you're making it to final tribal council. And as he says in his final tribal speech, I wasn't scared of you, Kirby, but it was easier to win without you, which is very agreeable. And chances are, we see from an outside perspective, he's definitely not going to win with Kirby in the game.
like Kirby next to him. So it like could, is this a hole in almost in a very, very long good game? Is Kirby his blind spot?
I don't think so. I think he was using her, like you said, as a shield. They were working together. Like they could always, you know, do something to hurt each other and then come back together, which is a very useful ally to have in a way, because you know that regardless of what happens, they're still there for you. But yeah, without being like results orientated, because obviously he goes on to win. At the time, I was really down on this move. I thought it was a horrible idea because he goes into the final four with the 2-2, and anything can happen. If Kirby's there, he goes in with the majority and he can sort of, you know, either take out Kirby if she doesn't win or take out Mark or Carolyn, whoever's there, and then he runs to the end. So I thought it was a bad move, but I guess, you know, I mean, it's hard to knock it when you go on to win the game.
Yeah, it genuinely is. It's hard to knock this move when you sort of think about it. And he had a backup for the final four. He had his agreements with both Caroline and Mark, which obviously become a huge thing in the next episode. But he makes these agreements up, these other options, these other chances to get himself through even if he does lose. So even if Mark does win immunity, he brings up Ray as an option with Caroline. So he's got pitfalls there. It's just interesting, like, when someone as big as him and is such a good player, and who I'm about to say, we are probably going to say, is a great winner, has possibly the biggest blind spot of them all, and, like, he actually regrets voting Kirby out.
I mean, you say that, but then at Final Four, now, I'm not sure what the man was thinking, but let's pretend that he is this smart, right? He goes to Final Four with a guaranteed ally in Ray. So they have two votes out of four, which is enough for a tie. So if he's thinking
fire
in that way, logically, and I mean, this is pretty galaxy braining from Ferris if this is true, but logically, they wouldn't put the votes on Ferris. They would put them on Ray because it's an easier beat in fire. So even by voting out Kirby, he still guarantees himself top three. And he still has to win that final challenge, but he's guaranteed to be there, which, you know, I don't want to give him all the credit because I don't know if that's what he's thinking. But if he was, it's not the worst, because Ray is such an easier beat in fire that he knew that he'd be safe.
Yeah. Not to mention Ferris is also, and this comes straight out of the horse's mouth from Mark, is Ferris is also a bigger human, and bigger humans don't really go too well in endurance challenge most of the time. They tend to, like, whereas Raymond, in a few of those challenges, he whipped both Caroline and Mark in some of those endurance challenges, the one where they were hanging upside down and stuff like that. So Mark and Caroline make the right move sort of going for Ray here, because not only will he lose at fire if Ferris has lied to them, which they've assumed that he has, but also Ferris is probably the easier beat in an endurance immunity challenge, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Like that challenge, I knew he had to win it, and I knew that he would probably do anything to win it. But I really had my money on Caroline, because normally women and lighter people do a lot better at those challenges. And also women tend to be, especially if they've had kids, they know what serious pain is and they can just keep going.
Yeah. Well, it is a proven fact that women have a higher pain threshold than men.
Don't suck up to Michelle
Pebbles. Our entire lives being men.
No.
It's the truth. Well, we've been told our entire lives. It's what they've got it over us.
No. But the thing is that I have a no pain threshold. I cannot have anything. I was literally wheeled into the hospital. I said, "Where's the epidural? I need it straight away." But in a competition, I will go to win anything and be in serious pain to try and win something. And this is, I'm not serious pain like you see on TV, but I'm talking about online games and things like that where, you're absolutely dying, but in my mind I'm like, I've got to win. I don't care.
Good.
Yeah.
Pain's just a warning, a warning beep to the body. That's all it is. It's just a warning sign. It's just saying, oh, you're in danger here. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Hayley Leake, you know, former winner, she was a pain management specialist, and she sort of said that pain is just, yeah, an emergency, but like a warning to your body to say, this could kill you. But if you sort of know that what you're doing won't kill you and you'll just be in pain, then you can sort of work through it. And I think like that's why this final three challenge was so good, because it was painful for all of them, but there was no clear standout who was going to take the win. All three were pretty even. And I guess if you're Ferris, you know, you're going up against Carolyn, and look, she did fantastically well, but yeah, she's 55, and Mark, who's, you know, a diplomat, he's not the most athletic guy, you would back yourself in that challenge, you know? So I think you sort of did the right thing.
Mac, I'm going to pull you up there.
Go on.
Totally pull you up there. I've done Sydney races. I am literally 25 years older than the people who are there. And I've never come first. I've always come second. But literally, I can beat 300 people. And I don't run. And I'm a lot older than a lot of them. And I think it comes down to wanting to win, your stamina and your drive. I don't think age matters if you have the brain power to want to push yourself through it. And you know what? I've seen that with certain people. And I think Caroline had that, but in the end it just got all too much. And you know what? It doesn't matter what age you are, if you have that drive.
No, it's a fair point. Like, if both people have, like, obviously Ferris has drive as well, and, you know, you say you come second in the races, guess who else came second in this challenge? Carolyn. So, I mean, it's not a non-topic, but it is, I would say, you know, if Carolyn was 30 years old, she probably wins that challenge.
Yeah, so, look, this challenge was incredible. Like, first of all, the aesthetics of it all were amazing. Like the big wheels and the turning. Obviously, we know the JLP's little stick doesn't do anything, but it was still cool to watch. And then the fire all around it, just to turn up the heat, literally, is incredible.
Yeah, it certainly set the mood. And I liked sort of when you see sort of Ferris praying on the wheel, and it's sort of cutting to like the sun setting, and it's got this music about it, this sort of, I guess, Middle Eastern music, I suppose, to sort of give him his moment. And it was just really, really cool to see from like a cultural perspective, which is something we don't usually get in Australian Survivor, or really any Survivor.
True, true. I was actually looking at it, and I was thinking, you know, the writers and the people who design the actual challenges, I'm thinking, what do they think when they think, right, what can we do that looks fantastic, it's also painful, and you know, it just provides such a great backdrop for us to, you know, watch someone's pain. And I thought, my God, giant wheels. It looks like Game of Thrones. so dramatic.
I think they just look at, like, the torture devices from, like, the medieval days. Like, last year, especially with the stretching of the arms out, and they had these spikes in the back and then this Ferris wheel. And it's like, it's just to inflict as much damage as they can. And even, like, the points on the wheel were not that sharp, so they knew they wanted to prolong the challenge to make it just last longer and longer, and really dish out some pain to these people.
Yeah.
Well, like, look, you could even see the swelling of Mark's feet on this. Like, he was in so much pain, you could see him just trying to push through it, and just the swelling on his feet was like you could visually see over the TV screen. It was incredible. Like, they really put them through their paces this year. And we talk about, so, like, we can look back on other challenges. Like, they're really liking these spikes. So, like, we had this with Hayley, George and Flick, where they had the sort of the torture device that's sort of clamping down on them. And this goes back to even the Christie Lee Castledine challenge, where they're standing on two spikes for a prolonged period of time. And we're hand on an idol, like the good old legendary hand on a hut idol sort of thing. And it just shows sort of the willpower that these guys have. And I almost bring up that if Kirby was there,
in my mind, Ferris still wins this challenge because he wanted it. You could see the want in his face. You could see him pushing through the pain.
Mm.
And Kirby, being the challenge beast that she is and being mentally fit, I still don't know if she beats Ferris. Like, Ferris just wanted. He wanted this season. And I said this at the start of the season when I did my original winner pick. The emotion at the end of his video was how much he wanted it. And that was the reason I chose him to be my winner pick for this year. And he proved that in this final challenge. He proved it. And it was an incredible... It was incredible TV. It was incredible to watch. And to then go on and be our winner by picking the right person to go to the end with, which I have a feeling was always going to happen, was right. And this almost makes up for whether or not he was going to bring Kirby. Because if he wins this final challenge, no matter what, then it doesn't matter who he votes out. He did the right move. He got through to the end and he deserves the win.
Mm.
Yeah, look, we'll never know if Kirby would have won that challenge or not. Like, it's hard to say. Like, she's an elite athlete. Like, they tend to have a bit more steel about them than the average person. There's a mentality that elite athletes have that, you know, I like to think I'm pretty competitive, I'm pretty mentally strong, but I know that elite athletes just are another level on top of that. So you talk about desire from Ferris. I'm sure, you know, it would have been a pretty good battle, and it's you can't just say, oh, Ferris would have won because he wanted it more, because Kirby has proven herself to be just great at everything. So, look, like I said, at the time I thought it was a bad move to get rid of Kirby, but he did it and he still came through with a win. So that's all that matters at the end, really. So good on him for winning the challenge. It was a great battle. And, yeah, I think during the challenge, when as soon as Mark got sort of knocked out, my question was, what if Carolyn wins this? Does she take Mark to the end or would she take Ferris? What do you guys think?
I think she takes Mark.
You think she takes Mark?
Well, I think she's been closer to Mark than to Ferris, and I think she would probably think that she could have a better chance against Mark than against Ferris.
Yeah, so I sort of thought, at the time, I thought, oh, you know, maybe if she's sitting next to Mark, she doesn't get the votes that Mark would get, like some of the Titans, but obviously we see what happens when she does sit next to Ferris. So, I mean, it could only have been better, I guess.
And you've also got to think, so this whole season has been, yes, Ferris versus Kirby on one side, but it was Mark versus Caroline. If Caroline does bring Mark, it puts this divide between them. And Caroline, to a point, has it over Mark. He tried to vote her out and couldn't. So I think it's in Caroline's best interest to bring Mark to the end. I'd love to, if you wanted to, go through the numbers, who votes who. Between Caroline and Mark, with Caroline winning that challenge, because winning that final challenge as her archetype would genuinely bring shock and awe to this jury. I think they would very much underestimate her, and especially with that attempted Ferris move very recently in their minds, but then her choosing who she brings, choosing to bring Mark. I think this may flip the script a little bit. Could this be Alex's big move for Carolyn?
Yeah, I mean, she certainly gets more than zero votes, that's for sure. Like, she'll get Kitty, she'll probably get, you know, Rihanna. I think she might get a few. I probably still say Mark would win in that situation. I do think he played a better game. He probably can articulate his game a bit better. So, yeah, it would be interesting, but, I mean, we'll never know, I guess.
No, we won't ever know. What are your thoughts on this, Michelle?
Well, yeah, I probably think that Mark would still win. But it may be a closer vote. It could, you know, I think she'd get probably three. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. Which I was surprised that she got nothing. I was really shocked that she didn't at least get Kitty, like, if I had like a number one ally, ride or die out there and they're on the jury and I made the final tribal, I would sort of expect that vote regardless of what happened. Like, we played the game together. If you don't vote for me, it's sort of almost like you wouldn't vote for yourself, which is a bit hypocritical. So I guess we'll get into final tribal council in a bit. But that was the one vote I thought she should have got regardless. I know everyone wants to vote for the winner, but there's sort of like a level of respect you have for your friends that you sort of – It's not embarrassing is the wrong word, but it's not a good look for Carolyn getting zero votes. I thought her game was better than that.
And I agree that it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a good look for Kitty, that because everyone was shocked that Kitty didn't give her vote to Carolyn.
No, it's just like, well, if you can't respect my game, then you don't respect your own game because we played it together. So it's not, yeah, it's a bad look for her, like you said, yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously we talk about how much that sucks for Carolina, and I could feel my disappointment when the votes were read and the first vote's Ferris and then the second vote is Ferris. And we all know when it's the final votes, they literally just do them one by one, one by one. There's no really mucking around who's going to win. As soon as you get two in a row, that tends to be the winner. And that's been happened in US Survivor, that happens in Australian Survivor. And I turned to Sam Green, who I was standing next to, a friend of the podcast, and I was disappointed. I was just like, she played a better game than a zero vote finalist.
Yeah.
And it was just so disappointing. Like, congrats to Ferris. Ferris deserves the win completely. And being a 9-0 vote is awesome for his game. And I don't want to take that away from him. But I just don't know. Maybe it was just because it was edited that way. But I just felt like Caroline was not a zero vote finalist.
Well, I was giving her to three. I was thinking, okay, maybe she's got the third number there. And as soon as she didn't get the third vote, I thought, well, that's it. He's just scooped everything.
Yeah, I thought her game was definitely, like you said, better than that. I just think ultimately what it sort of came down to is likability. Like if two people played both decent games, which I think they both have, I don't think there was much like a huge gap between Ferris and Carolyn on paper. But I think just the way they dealt with the people as they got voted out, the way they sort of socially bonded with everyone as a whole, Ferris just did that so much better. The way he would, I guess, get around everyone, have plans with everyone, as Carolyn was a bit more combative and maybe just her natural personality isn't as friendly as Ferris's. The way she treated Rihanna, giving her fake plans more than once, someone who tried to align with her, like this is not, it's not great stuff. The way, you know, she was calling Jaden Lord Jaden, and he's like, we don't have that relationship. You can't, like, don't do that. Yeah, her and Valeria had fights. Like, there's a lot of animosity towards her from certain people. So while I think she played better than a zero vote finalist, I can see why these people didn't vote for her.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we look at Rihanna's question to her. So, Caroline, you say you play a loyal game. You say you're loyal, then why didn't she include me in these votes? And the best thing Caroline could come up with was, I'm loyal to my friends, pretty much suggesting, Rihanna, you weren't my friend. I wasn't ever loyal to you. And that's... like, don't get me wrong, yes, that's true, but you sort of just don't see it that way at a final tribal council because it's literally, it lost Rihanna's vote there and then possibly Kitty's vote because it just made Rihanna feel like so shit, even though Caroline was a huge part of her game. And then we can also look at Valeria, and on that cliffhanger, like, she literally says, I feel like everyone has a sour taste. You didn't have a very good social game, did you, Caroline? And Caroline just literally has to go back and say, no, I was a grinder. I fought hard, but I did not play the best social game, which is a real shame. And it's something that, unfortunately, is one of these facets out of these three. It's the physical, the strategic, and the social. And she was just fighting a losing battle. With, I guess, the sour taste that was in the jury's mouth.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I nowadays, I'm not sure how much, like, final tribal council actually comes into play. Like, Michelle, you played, obviously, Sydney Survivor, made final tribal council. Do you think what is actually said at final tribal council makes a difference in the votes, ultimately? Or do you think people just look at the game you played and make a decision?
Look, I think it... I think it does. I think what you say... sways people one way or the other. Problem with what I had with Final Tribal was you know, the entire cast was in Final Tribal. So we had the other, you know, tribe voting for, you know, their person, which was a bit annoying because if it was just Sam and I, then the voting, you know, would have been a bit different. However, Sam and I had exactly the same game except for one vote. We had one vote different the entire game, but he got more questions. And to this day, Sam and I played the same game basically, except he, you know, voted out one of his ride or dies. And people, you know, valued that in that, you know, he got to the end by doing that to, you know, someone he really wanted to go to the end with. So I think your speech and the answers you give do have weight. I didn't get enough questions, and so I couldn't give enough answers, and I think that's why, I think it made a major part in how many votes I got.
I also want to say it's very different. An LRG, so a one-day game in this circumstance with people that never actually talked to you, Michelle, because they were on the other tribe and they got voted out before you got the chance.
Yeah.
The Final Tribal Council does mean a lot. In this case, in this season especially, where so much is said at Tribal Council, like in the American version, nothing said at Tribal Council. It's a whole lot of Jeff asking questions and no one gives an answer of substance. They just try their best to not give up the plan and to talk around Jeff and just give Jeff what he wants without actually giving him what he wants. In Australian Survivor, especially this season, everyone said everything all the time.
I know. It was
brutal. It was brutal. Tribal Council was so entertaining this season. And people laid out their games. You saw Mark attack Ferris at the Final Four. You saw Mark try to compete with Caroline at the Final Four, saying exactly what she's going to say.
You saw Alex attack people. I mean, yeah, how many times? How many times were we watching and looking at the screen, going, "Just stop talking, stop talking." You know, it was just crazy how much they were saying in front of other people.
It was, and Kirby, I want to say some of her best work was her antagonizing conversation at Tribal Council. She was able to get people to say everything. She got Eileen to literally say, "I wanted to be Rebel Strong," with the Titans right there, and Eileen needing the Titans to vote with her. It was so incriminating at Tribal Council that I'm going to say the jury went away and they knew who they were voting for. They knew who was winning the game. There was not many people that went into the Final Tribal Council not knowing. These jury members have so much time, 2-3 days between some of the eliminations. They have so much time to talk amongst themselves, and you can't tell me that they're not talking about the game and who they're going to vote for.
Oh, of course they are, but I think every season is very different. You know, you can say that for this season, but maybe other seasons they actually don't make, you know, we've had so many bitter juries where they don't like either of the finalists and, yeah, they're trying to clutch at straws to figure out who they're going to vote for. So I think season to season is very different. But, yes, I think definitely this one, Ferris was in as a social game was liked more than and Caroline. And sometimes, no matter how good your game is, if people don't like you, you're not getting voted for.
I think that's a huge part.
And I want to bring up Alex's question. Now, there was so much sort of, he seemed so chilled when he asked the question, but you could see the venom in it. And it was, all right, Caroline, after I left, I told you that you'd done nothing. What was your big move after I left? And she had nothing, and he knew she had nothing. The best thing she could say was the kitty, the trying to play the idol for Mark move. And it wasn't even a move that got pulled off. Yes, she threw shit at the wall, but it wasn't a move. It wasn't a strategic move because it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that was sort of when the tide was turning. You could sort of feel it. And I think I'm not a huge believer that Final Tribal Council matters too much in a normal season. But I think when it comes to these two players, when they play such a subtle game, you need to be able to explain your moves, because both of them played, I guess, not so much under the radar, but things they were doing quite subtle. So it needs to be, I guess, presented to the jury. And so the biggest thing that swung the jury, I thought, was around the idols, the bad play from Carolyn and the great play from Ferris. So when Alex asked that question about the idol, and she said, I had this big plan to get rid of Ferris, flush his idol, get him out, whatever. And then Ray said, well, so your big plan, it didn't work. And that was sort of, that knocked her down a few notches. And then when we hear Ferris's counterpoint, like, I had my idol 31 days, I made Alex find the idol, I gave Ray a fake idol, like all these things, and how well he did. And people didn't know about this thing. And when you have those sort of, tricks you can pull out of your pocket, it really sways the jury just to your side.
Mm. And they are subtle moves. They're not big out there moves at all, just playing around with this idol. But just having an idol for 31 days and not having to use it, being confident enough in your own game and in your alliances to not have to use an idol for 31 days, that says a lot in itself. You don't need to have a big move. If you're able to keep an idol for that long,
ridiculous to say 31 days. Like, that's longer than US season is currently. Like, that's to have it for that long, all through the merge, and you never target it, never need it, never, never get the sense that, just the paranoia that, it burns a hole in your pocket, I need to play it. Like, he must be so calm and collected, have all the information. And just when you hear that, you know that he's sort of in control, because to have it for that long and not play it, it just shows you, like, the level of control he had on the game. So I think that was a huge part that won over the jury, for sure.
True.
Having that is a huge thing, because it forces the other alliance to need to split on you at all times, because they don't know if you've got an idol, but they think you've got an idol. And 31 days, he did so well. And this idol, does he have it? Does he not have it? Raymond was the only person that 100% knew he had it. Alex came out of the game knowing that he had it. Eileen believed that he had it. All these people that were closer to him believed that he had it, but then the other tribe did not know, and it gave him so much protection. Not to mention, on top of that, let's talk about this Ray move. Let's talk about Ray finding the idol in front of Caroline and Mark. And yes, I don't actually believe that another idol was planted. I think Australian Survivor is known for one idol in the game at the final five, which is something that we really do like about Australian Survivor. But this, just in case there was another one planted, being that this is a bit of a crazy season and they do like a good idol play, being that these guys are out looking for an idol, this was the perfect blocker. Whether there was an idol, whether there wasn't an idol out there, this stops them from looking, and it gives Raymond the chance to have implicit immunity, because they just assume he's going to play it for himself. And they were able to keep this, even with Ferris bringing his idol out before they actually went to vote. Raymond was able to just sort of sway, I'm going to do my big thing when it's time to vote. This was awesome. You can't, like, Ferris has revolutionized idol play.
Yeah, I thought the best part of that move was Ferris had an idol, he couldn't get voted for. They thought Ray had an idol, so he couldn't get voted for. Mark had immunity, so he couldn't get voted for. So it pretty much put the target on Kirby, which was, I think Ferris just wanted Kirby to go home at that point. He sort of made his decision and said, I'm cutting it loose and I'm going in alone. So by giving Ray that implicit immunity, it sort of narrows the focus for everyone just to target Kirby. So it was really, really great move. And I think that's sort of pretty inventive. Like, we haven't really seen someone use an idol, plant it for someone else to find, really. Like, not from memory. I can't think of this happening. So it's a really smart move from Ferris. He got so much use out of this idol in so many ways. So that's what you want to see. Inventive new strategies coming, emergent strategies. And he did that really well.
And he used this to not save himself. He didn't even need to save himself at the final five because of this system and what he did. He has revolutionized, he's changed, and this was awesome gameplay. And I think just on the back of this, this was his biggest move. Idol plays was his biggest move, or idol not plays, so to speak, was his biggest move of this game. And he should stand by that. It was great strategy. One thing I do want to talk about, after going on the back of such great strategy and stuff by Ferris, can we talk about the edit of Raymond on his boot episode? There was none. There's four people in the game, and I don't think he got a confessional. I rewatched it, and I didn't see a confessional from him. I did skip through parts, but he didn't get a confessional on his boot episode and is in the final four. What is this? Australian Survivor really wanted the casuals to hate Raymond.
Well, we never did, and no one hated Raymond. No, I never had anyone in the group say they hated Raymond. They loved him.
Yeah, actually,
they loved him. We didn't see any of him. I felt like they gave him almost a villain edit because he got no edit.
No, I don't agree at all. What I think is that we didn't see very much of him, but what we did see was so endearing to the Australian public that somehow the fans loved him, even though they didn't get to see enough of him.
Yeah,
I thought it was the super fans that loved him, not just the casuals. So
no, the casuals loved him too.
Okay, sweet. I read that wrong. That's awesome.
It's really strange because, like, the whole season, he was always there in conversations, more so never confessionals, but always around the scene. He's always in the scene sort of thing. And sort of like the Batman and Robin. He's the Robin. He's the sidekick who, you know, obviously Ferris is Batman in this situation, and he's just, like, just got along with him. And a lot of the time he's lying in the hammock. He's got one-word answers for people. And it was so strange. And obviously his game is, like, centered around this big move where, you know, he's faking he wants to go home. And you would think just out of that, we would get some sort of, you know, spike, I guess. And we did for that one episode, like, from there going forward. He's in the final four. And I guess when you see him go to fire and you see the edit he has, you know that he's not going to win the fire, because how could he possibly be in the final three with this many confessionals and such little airtime? Like, it was such a it was underserved so badly. And I feel so sorry for him, honestly, because I'm sure he was doing more than what we saw. He must have been. Like, we see him a few times tell Ferris, this is the time we're going to get rid of Kirby. They are working together. It's not just Ferris. I feel like it was a bit of a mutual partnership, and we sort of only get one side of it. And it's just a little bit just disappointing, I suppose.
Well, let's quickly talk about how good this was, the fire-making challenge. How long has it been since we've seen this?
Well, we get it every season in US.
Normally. Purely. Purely. How long has it been since we've seen this purely? Not forced.
Yeah, sorry. Not forced on us. Like,
I literally was catching myself.
Yeah.
Okay. How long has it been since we've seen this not forced? This was awesome.
What made it more fun is that, like you said, it got voted that way. So I think US Survivor's missing a trick in doing the forced fire making, because this final four vote was so complex. There was so much going on, and there was only four votes, and it was just so intriguing. And it's such a fun dynamic when there's four people, because especially when there's twos and like two on each side, all you need is one person to vote incorrectly, and then you can sort of 2-1-1 someone out of the game. They obviously tried to do that with Ferris, but he wasn't really budging, so they sort of had to go for Ray as the easier beat in the fire. So it was a great episode, and that's why Final Four voting is much superior than a fire making.
I have a little bit of hot news. I think they would have gone for Ferris either. They would have wanted to keep Ferris either way, just because of his challenge performance in endurance challenges previously. A little birdie may have told me that was what was talked about already. Yeah, that Ferris was going to stay because Raymond had actually had it over the top of the both of them in a few endurance challenges over the post-merge. So they decided that Ferris was probably the easier beat in that final immunity challenge. And it did work perfectly that Raymond was also the worst fire maker.
That backfired a bit.
I felt so sorry for him. He was trying so hard, and you could see sparks, but there was nothing happening.
He's a super fan, but not all super fans create fire before they go on the island. Caroline, who's a super fan, was very, very good at fire before coming on the island and didn't actually do it on the island. She just helped with the cooking.
Yeah, well, I guess we see that a lot in a US Survivor, like people trying to conceal their fire-making skills. Less so in Australian Survivor because, you know, fire making isn't usually a thing. So, but I guess Carolyn, I don't know, maybe she did it on purpose. I'm going to give her credit because she's a fan, so she probably knew what she was doing. But I guess back to the Raymond thing, Buckles, because I know you have a strong feeling about this too. You were quite disappointed with his edit.
It was disappointing because, yes, look, super fans come into the game, and I'm not saying that they've got chops for the game. I'm not saying that they have the strategic mind that they may think they have going into the game. But whether or not they've got the strategic mind, he genuinely had the banter. He had the funny quips, the little weird moments throughout the game that I just felt like he deserved more confessionals. So don't get me wrong. Yes, Australian Survivor, we can't really assess the content as per confessionals. I think now it's being talked about, we assess a person's content by their sentences. And even then, he just didn't get enough. He didn't get enough for, I think, the quality character that he was, whether he had chops for the game or not.
Yeah, just on the flip side of that, we come into the merge, and on this podcast, we spoke about the four main characters in Ferris and Kirby, Mark and Carolyn. And to get these four of them in the final five, like, for me, the editors did a great job at building these characters up, showing you that they might go home at any point, and for them to all make it to the end. So as much as we hated the Raymond edit, I think what they did with the main characters to get them at the end, it made for such a good, the best final five ever, and then even this final three. Like, I would say it's arguably one of the best ever. It was so good because we knew these characters. They were the main characters, and all three of them got to the end. And whether that's they got to the end so they made them main characters, or they were doing enough to be a main character and then they got the deserving edit. So I can't really fault the editors of that. I think they did a great job in that regard.
Definitely. Look, is this the best final five of all time? I can't. I've talked about this at length with quite a few different people. I can't think of a better final five. If you guys have got someone, let me know, please, because Kirby, such a big character, getting this way with her rival Ferris that they've combined for the last few votes to work together. And then the Caroline Mark storyline, yes, this is the editors hyping all four of these players up to us, but these genuinely felt like they were the biggest players in the game.
All right, so I've done a bit of homework, and I didn't do final fives, I did final threes. Now I'll run a few with you, and you tell me what's better, if it's Caroline Mark Ferris or these ones. Now, obviously the first one is Australian Survivor. It's George Haley and Flick, which I think is pretty comparable, like if not maybe a touch better.
I think it's – so this one's the only one that I could think of, and it's hard because George was the main character of his season. Haley, we all knew, was getting there, and Flick had such emotional edit, and we were so emotionally with her the entire way through. And in my mind, this is the only trio that competes with this year's final three.
Okay, I got some more. Say yes or no. So, okay, you want some more? Let's compare them to JT, Stephen, and Taj from Token Tunes. I've got a few of these. So have a quick.
Ooh, okay. Yes, dummy. Okay.
Which is not as good.
Yeah, Token Tunes not as good as this season.
What about Todd, Amanda, and Courtney from China?
Go get Token Tunes. No, China not as good.
You're giving out big names here.
These are huge names.
I thought you were going to compare to Australian Survivor season.
And especially with that one, Amanda goes on to play a few more times and does well. So I guess when you're basing off their first season, exactly.
Courtney plays so well in Heroes vs.
Courtney and Amanda. And, How about this one? That's equal.
Here's a big one for you. Tony, Wu, and Cass. All of them return. One of them wins again.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
Okay. All right. I've come to terms with maybe Ferris, Mark, Caroline isn't the best final three of all time. However, if we had Kirby in there, this definitely would have been the best final three.
Hang on, just with a lot of those, a lot of them came back later on. So just bear in mind, probably through all three of these people, at least two of them will definitely come back in a future season, which will enhance this final three as it builds its own legacy. So it's hard to judge right now. But I think it's on par. And the last one I had was Yul, Aussie, and Becky. So, I mean, Yul and Aussie, obviously the standouts there. But, yeah, you got to remember, these sort of legends build over time.
Yeah,
so I do think we'll look back at Ferris, Mark, and Carolyn in, you know, 5-10 years when they've all played 2 or 3 more times and we're like, wow, how good was that, you know?
How good was that? Ferris winning twice in a row. Not twice in a row, but Ferris winning a second time being Australia's first two-time winner. That would be sick. I'd take that.
I can even see that because I think this is a replicatable game.
No, certainly, because he wasn't overly flashy. Someone like a David comes to mind in terms of like flash, where you know they'll be targeted next time, much like Tony's first season. So, yeah, Ferris was a bit more, like we said, subtle. So that's easy to replicate because a lot of it's built onto social relationships. So that is the core of any good Survivor player. And, yeah, he could come back and just do it again, honestly.
And as we've talked about, Caroline being there with him, like compared to a Mark or a Kirby, he definitely has a harder time against a Mark or a Kirby, probably loses against Kirby and possibly loses against Mark. So this is like he is not seen as the biggest big move itis sort of player. And in this season especially, where big move itis was a huge thing, he really didn't show that off. So people aren't going to be, say in a where you've got a few winners, he might not be your first target to say possibly who do I bring out? Yeah, David, as you said, I'm thinking about the rest of the winners and a lot of them are beta, like a Haley or a David.
Yeah, I just think his skills as a Survivor player, like his baseline skills, his core skills that are sort of ingrained in himself are really like top tier. His perception when things, the plans were changing, even at Tribal Council, several times he would change the plan at Tribal Council. So just to be aware enough of pick up social cues from people and sort of read people when they're lying, he just was really good at that, and I just commend him highly for that.
Let's be careful. Let's not talk him up too much, otherwise he will be targeted the next time he comes back. Let's keep it down. Ferris, the trick is you come back, you get out like second vote because you go crazy and look for idols, and then you come back again and win. That's the deal. All right? Just a little suggestion, Ferris. You got this.
That's how your game planned.
All right. Look, while we're comparing final threes, etc., I think we've talked about the episodes enough. Can we talk about the big question? Is this the best Australian Survivor season?
For gameplay, and I think for the amount of players who actually brought it to the game and weren't just like wishy-washy, I think it's right up there.
I think we can comfortably all say there are probably two seasons we can compare this to.
Yeah.
Now, 2017 has arguably the best cast of Australian Survivor. That was another newbie season. Then we have Heroes versus Villains. I know, Mac, at the end of Heroes versus Villains, you felt like that was the best Australian season of all time.
I actually called it the best season of all time, of all franchises. And maybe I was living in the moment a bit, but that's how I felt at the time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if you still feel that way. We can find out in a second. But, okay, I want to bring up 2017. We're still new age Australian Survivor. We got the beta winner. Okay. There was no real chance for a big player to get to the end in those earlier seasons. Then we also got quite a slow start. I think if you go back and you rewatch it, there's definitely a slow start. There's even a bit of a slow finish at the end of that season. Obviously, it's only the second season that Channel 10's brought out. So they did very, very well at the time. And the cast is arguably any of them could have been brought back. And some of them were. It was an amazing cast. Even people like Tara, who annoyed me so much at the time, I think back, and she was casting gold. Then I'll bring you to Heroes versus Villains. Heroes versus Villains was a season, arguably, it was returning players and fodder. And the big person was George. Okay?
the whole season was based around this one player and everyone wanting to get this player out. Eventually, Liz arguably gets him out. She wins the game. Are we comparing heroes versus villains to rebels versus titans, or are we comparing the George show to the Ferris Caroline Marking Kirby show?
Interesting. Look, the George show will always, always be in contention. I did like the heroes and villains show season as much as I enjoyed this season. But then this season had more players who knew what they were doing, and I really enjoy watching that. I know a lot of people don't like watching that. They'd rather watch the bumbling people who have no idea what they're doing and provide entertainment, but I'd rather see what we saw this season. So I'm just going to say I love this season probably a little bit more than any other.
Okay, wow. So you've got it on top. This is your number one of all Australian seasons.
Yeah, but it's only marginal.
You, including US, including South Africa, all the franchises, do you have it in the top five, top 10? Where do you put it?
Top four.
Okay. That is easy.
And can I ask, Michelle, newbie seasons, where do you put it?
Oh, out of newbie seasons?
Out of newbie seasons, so no returnees.
Yep. Two.
Two? I'm guessing Cagayan?
No, Pearl Islands.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's I wouldn't even call that a hot take. Pearl Islands was fucking genius. It was awesome. Yeah. Okay, Mac.
Well, I'll kick it off with a hot take, I suppose. I've got 2017 at number four, so I'm not going to compare it to that because this is just simply better.
What was your number three?
I've got Champs Contenders 2 ahead of it. I just think it was better. Now, Heroes and Villains was a great season. If you like George, then you love Heroes and Villains. If you don't like George, then you probably hate Heroes and Villains. So, as a George fan, I thought it was an outstanding season. And it has some high highs, like the highest of highs, Episode 7, and there's a couple others in there, which Titans and Rebels did not hit. However, the end game of Heroes and Villains was a little slow. So, we mark it down a few points. But, yeah, you know, Titans and Rebels, it didn't finish overly strong. Like, obviously, we got a good winner in that. But, I don't know, like, last week's episodes were a little bit slow with Kitty, Rihanna, and Alex's boots. So, you know, it was probably more consistent overall. Didn't have the high highs, didn't have the low lows, but. So it's very consistent. It's hard to not live in recency bias, live in the moment, be hyperbolic. But I probably have Titans and Rebels still behind Heroes and Villains. I just think that was a top-tier season. It was still one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. And I have Titans and Rebels second on the Australian list. Now, that being said, I have it still in, like, the top five overall worldwide. So it's a great season. It's a top season with a great winner.
All right, mate, can we just hear your top five just for the listeners?
You know, I don't have this stuff written down. Just off the top of my head, the top five... In no order, Heroes and Villains Australia, Heroes and Villains US, Titans vs. Rebels, Return of the Outcasts in South Africa, and I'm not sure what the fifth one is, but there's another one in there. Either Immunity to the Island from South Africa or David Goliath, maybe. Second Chances. There's a few in there.
Ooh, okay, yeah. I think you're very, very high on David and Goliath.
What really are my top five of all time? You know, I've got Pearl Islands and I've got here, then I've got this season and then I've got Heroes versus Villains US and then I have SA, Island of Secrets, and then my last is
Island of Secrets.
Heroes versus Villains.
Okay, I'm going to say for myself, I agree with Mac. I think Heroes versus Villains, I still put it as the top. I really do.
Are you just talking Australia? Where are you?
I'm talking Australia. I'm going to keep Heroes versus Villains at the top of my Australian rankings. But, oh, Titans versus Rebels, who knows how this ages. On a rewatch, we definitely, as you talked about, Mac, the low lows of heroes versus villains. Let's be serious. That last, that second last week was horrible. And I disagree with you. I think the Alex, Rihanna, Kitty votes, I think Australia Survivor did amazing. And I think they did really good editing to keep us entertained, to keep us there. They picked the right votes for the right short episodes. So Rihanna going home on that short 50-minute episode, I think was just worked out perfectly for them. So it's just, yeah, you're right. The high highs just, unfortunately, we talked about it at the start of the season. Were we going to do an emergency podcast? For that seventh episode, we did an emergency podcast straight away. The next day, smashed it out. And the only thing that we even even brought up was maybe the Raymond, the Raymond advantage as maybe the biggest episode. And to be honest, that was sort of the biggest episode of this season. The most villainous move of Australian Survivor, we could say, arguably. But at the same time, it wasn't. And it was more, I think there was a lot more outrage than love for it. Whereas with episode 7 of Heroes versus Villains, it's just love for it. I think if you don't love that episode, there's issues. There's issues. Maybe you don't like Survivor. It won awards. Exactly.
What about your top five, Buggles? Can you give us your top five?
For me, Return of the Outcast is number one. SA, I miss you so much. I miss you, SA.
So
I want to, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Then we're going to go Heroes versus Villains. Oh, I'm not going to say which, but what? Two and three, Heroes versus, Heroes versus Villains, Australia or US.
You can't say or. No, put them in order. No, you don't get a
free. Okay, I'm going to go Heroes versus Villains US, Heroes versus Villains Australia, Titans versus Rebels, then Fans versus Favourites.
You know what the funny thing is with all them? Okay. They're all versing something. It's the theme that actually makes a difference. And I know we laughed about it in the preseason. What's a Titan? What's a Rebel? What is this crappy theme? But you know what? Any versus theme delivers. It just makes it fun. It develops rivalries. You can clearly define who's on whose side, which team is which. And I do think the versus format is the best format to go with.
Unless you have an island of secrets.
How do you compare this season to a newbie season?
This season, I can only compare this to Cagayan in in US. So that was season 28. And I rate this higher. I rate this higher than Cagayan. I think this was awesome. As we talked about, Cagayan's final three was also brought up in this episode. I rate this as the best newbie season of all time.
Yeah, newbie season, yes.
Wow.
In any franchise. Yeah, and yes, I'm biased to Australia because I'm Australian, and this is where my love came. So I'm not saying that this has to be everyone's favorite newbie season, but holy fuck, this season brought it. It was awesome, and they've listened to Australia. The editors are listening. The non-alims, two non-alims in the pre-merge, that's great. Holy fuck, we didn't have a non-alim in the post-merge. This was awesome. Yes, there was an advantage I wasn't too happy with. Yes, there was some stuff. The non-alims weren't exactly the greatest. But this was brilliant. And a final two. How good was that? Australia's teased final three for the last few seasons. Bang, we're back to a final two. Thank you for changing it up, Australia. This was awesome.
Yeah, we don't know what they're going to do. Because, you never really know. And it's good that you don't know because so many people were saying we need another non-alim because it's not going to happen. We won't have a three. And then I'm saying, well, maybe we won't have a non-alim because we might be a two. And I was sick of answering the question in the last week.
I bet.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of people that message you.
Yeah.
As a Survivor purist, I love the final two. I didn't love this, but because in a final two, I love to see them fighting each other and putting each other down and say, and comparing their games while they're talking. And we didn't get any of that. We didn't see, you know, Carolyn say like, oh, Ferris did this, but I did this. No, we never got any of that. And that was sort of what I was expecting. So I was a little bit disappointed, but I much prefer a final two.
Well, hopefully, hot take, Mark coming for his interview with us, we can ask him why in his intro he didn't say, none of this kumbaya bullshit. Tell us, fucking attack each other. Tell us everything. Hit each other below the belt. It would have been good.
Well, you know what? Valeria sort of did that. And like, I'm like, okay, sweet. She's the one.
She did that to Caroline.
But she's going to do like the Sue Hawk and rip into someone. But she didn't rip into anyone. And I was like, it was right there for the taking. Get out of Valeria.
You could see her winding up before a question. She's just like, I don't, like, obviously this is editing gold, but you could just see her, like, the anger. It's like she was just about to rage on, go Super Saiyan, and just on them both. And I didn't think she did it to the point that she could have, especially having seen her throughout the season. She can definitely pack a punch with her words.
We see her destroy Kellen at a tribal council earlier in the season. And I'm like, where was that? Where's that anger? Where was that ferocity? And she just sort of, half did it. And it was like, oh, just go a little bit more overboard. Because, you know, you're making TV here, Valeria. Come on. All right, enough with the jury, enough with the game. Let's go on to a little segment we like to call...
Previously on Australian Survivor.
Where we look back at what we said last week. So in a season that has been impossible to predict week to week, this week was no different. So let's kick it off with our... guest from last week, Leah Jacobson, and see what she had to say.
I think we're going to see Ray go next. Then we're going to see Mark fourth. Mark or Carolyn third, fourth. And I'm hoping the Ferris Kirby final tribal. But I think Ferris is taking home the win. That's my man.
Yeah, Leah, look, you got the Ferris win. Congratulations. Well done. It was a bit fucked till that point, but you got the Ferris win, so well done.
Yeah. I mean, she did get the winner, which is the ultimate goal. And, you know, spoiler alert, but she might have done a little bit better than the rest of us.
Yeah, okay. Now, how about we let's get mine over and done with.
Let's see what
I'm sorry, Ferris. Okay, I see Mark going at five. Raymond goes at four. Caroline at three. And I see a Kirby Ferris final two with Kirby winning the game. Yeehaw. She's the only person with the edit that can win the game. I can't believe I didn't back my man who I backed from the start of the season. And I just got in my own head last week just thinking maybe Kirby's edit was giving me the win. She was the only one bringing up the money. We hadn't heard any of these lines like this money would change my life up until this week from Ferris. I just genuinely like even the next week on Survivor last week was, oh, I really want to do my best. I really want to do my best. I want to make it to the end. And then it's Kirby saying, I can feel that $500,000 coming to me. I just read into the edit too much and I got tricked.
What we have here is an old-fashioned hedging of the bets. Yeah, you had Ferris as your winner pick, and you were scared to lose right at the last moment, so you covered yourself with Kirby. This way you can anoint yourself in glory. You sort of doubled down.
Double down, yeah. Actually, let's go with that. Let's go with that. That sounds better. That is a better podcasting strategy, and I like that. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, guys. Just edit out what I just said.
All right, let's check mine. Can we finish with a win? Ferris has the power this week. I just think he has Ray, he has Kirby for this first vote, and they're going to vote Carolyn out. Then Mark will be the next one out because I think Kirby goes at three. And I think Ferris beats Ray in the end. So that's my prediction.
Ferris beats Ray. Well, you got the winner. As you said, you got the winner and that's what this is all about, mate.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's the biggest tick of all. And, in a tough season, I got the last tick. So pat on the back for me. And that's the predictions over for another season.
Let's eulogise these guys. This was a great final five to eulogise. And I think we start with the big player, Kirby. Now, let's rate her as a player, rate her as a character. Think about what her memorable moment was and will she return?
Okay. As a character, she was forthright. She just, you know, she just went for everything. She wasn't scared of anything. And as a player, I'm so impressed. And the reason why I'm so impressed is because when I spoke to her this week, she said that she had never watched one episode of Survivor before playing. Not one. And, you know, the executive producer was saying, maybe you should watch something. Maybe you should just go watch an episode or something. And she thought, oh, maybe I will. And then she never did. She never watched anything. So she went in totally blind and look at the way she played.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that is crazy to think. Imagine if she had like a little bit of knowledge beforehand. Could we have seen Jaden do the same thing? For me, Kirby is a player. I guess, you know, player of a season. Like you, arguably, like she was on track to win. She had seemingly this aura around her where everyone just loved her, wanted to work with her. No matter what she sort of did, she always found herself in, like, maybe lose one vote, but come back and find herself in the numbers the next time. So she must have just this magnetic personality. As a character, I did like her a lot. I liked her bluntness. She would just sort of tell it how it is in a confessional. She's not really beating around the bush. She's not trying to do these really good one-liners or anything. Just says it how it is. Even at tribal council, just sort of starts a little fight, just has a cheeky smile, and just doesn't beat around the bush, which I love. That's probably the memorable moment as well, just all the tribal council fights she had with Alex, Ferris, with sort of just quite a few people, which is bad gameplay, but seemingly she would find herself a way out of it and still be the favourite to win. So great player, great character. Will she return? I would say 100% she will return in the future.
Yeah, look, I agree with that. I think she will 100% return in the future. She's found her next grand final. She's found her next thing that she really wants to play. And unfortunately in Survivor, it's not like footy where you can't come back without previous, like, and get targeted as much. Like, definitely people get targeted in footy, but you can still keep playing, whereas in Survivor, once you're out, you're out. Unless you're an Australian Survivor and it's not a limb. Yes, I definitely think we will see Kirby back on our screens, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Look, in my opinion, as a character, as a player, I can't separate the two. The character that she played was the player that she was. As you said, that antagonizing, cheeky talk at Tribal was a huge part of her gameplay. And I genuinely believe, like, I'd be scared to argue with this girl. Like, Holly, I don't want to ever disagree. Kirby, everything you say, I'm just going to take as gospel because I will never disagree with you. You scare the shit out of me. It was brilliant. And her strategies and everything, there was no hiding anything. There was no anything. For me, her greatest moment was when she realized, holy shit, I'm the biggest target. Everyone's coming for me. Now I've got to fucking win immunities. And she did. Now it's on me. Now it's on me to win. It's on me to get to the end. I can't rely on anyone else. And that was sort of her biggest moment, her most memorable moment for me. It was awesome. Unfortunately, coming off Kirby, we now have to go to Raymond, who we didn't see as much of, but I think is still just as big of a character. As a character, I really loved Raymond. I thought he was quirky. I think that's the perfect word for him. He was quirky. He was weird. He was funny. He envisioned, I think all of us want to live life like Raymond does. He just does not give a shit. He has fun. He does what he wants. He does what he thinks. And he was inspiring to be on our TV screens as a super fan. As a character, we didn't see enough. I think, unfortunately, I think he had, yes, he played the loyal game. I think we can safely say he played the loyal game and he did that big move, which he lied. And he did very, very well at that big move. I still don't like the product, advantage itself, but he pulled it off. Good on him, and with the help of friends, and he picked the right people to help him.
His memorable moment has got to be the most villainous move of Australian Survivor. I think we can all probably agree on that. Will we see him again? Unfortunately not. And I don't know if he'd even want to come back. I think Raymond's not out for himself. He just wanted to play the game that he loved. Good on him. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for showing us yourself. Who's next?
Gosh, you could have just spoken for me. Basically the same. Yeah, I don't think he would come back. I don't think he would be invited back. And we didn't see enough of him in the edit, which is really sad. But we did see good parts. I mean, that acting he did, while it was a little bit over the top, it served its purpose, and it was just amazing that he managed to pull it off, because when he did get the advantage, I thought, oh, what's he going to do? Maybe he's not going to do it, because we've seen him be sort of a meek and mild sort of character, and I thought maybe he's not going to even use it. And then next minute he's pulling out this huge card, and Ferris is helping him, and it was just an amazing.
Yeah, for me, look, for me as a player, he found his ride or die in Ferris. He found his little group of misfits with Garrick and Eileen, and that is pretty much how you play Survivor. So, as a player, didn't do a whole lot wrong, I suppose. Like, he voted correctly a lot. I think he had one of the highest voting percentages as well. I think he voted out more people than Ferris even. So, how can I fault him as a player? Like, he didn't do much wrong.
He didn't learn fire.
Perhaps. But when there's not mandatory fire making, you don't really need to in Australian Survivor. Maybe he should have, but I can't fault him on that. But yeah, we just didn't see a lot of his game. And it's hard when you, like I said, you're the sidekick to Batman. You're not going to be the main character. And he was such a background character that it was really upsetting. His actual character, I liked him. He's a quirky guy, a little bit weird, but that's also fun. And he delivered some moments, I guess, like when he's talking about Eileen has no future outside of the game. Is like, okay, a little bit villainous, but yeah. And then obviously the whole thing with his advantage was, you know, it was a hot topic. So, yeah, he was very unique. Now, memorable moments, obviously, you know, I had it down in the top three most villainous moves worldwide, along with the dead grandmother and dreams and stealing the car. So, like, it was huge. And that's what he'll be remembered for, like, for a long time. And he changes the way anyone tries to quit the game now. Anyone who says, I'm quitting, can you vote me out? It's not possible now. Like, it won't happen.
The next person's going to whip out an item.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like his legacy he's leaving on the game. If you're him, like, you'll take that every day of the week. You've changed the game forever. So, can't complain. Will he return? Look, he won't, because he got no airtime. They obviously don't want him on the show, so he won't. And that's sad.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Let's, unfortunate, Ray. Let's move on to Mark, someone that we probably all think will definitely return. Definitely a super fan. As a player, he was hot and cold. He definitely, he probably took to this revenge streak too much and missed a few votes there. He definitely didn't vote correctly every single tribal council in the post-merge, but there were chops for the game. He had moments of brilliance followed by moments of devastation. it was very, very fun to watch, which brings me to his character. Now, you weren't too high on him in the preseason, Mac. However, I was very high on looking forward to this diplomat and how he talks. How he talks is brilliant. His confessionals, yes, I'm not saying they were the biggest showy things, but we heard everything. We got everything that we needed out of them. And there was enough showiness in it to make it fun. I liked him as a character. I'd loved him as a player. He just shows the hot and the cold that not everyone's perfect, even if they're probably the smartest person in the room. So I really enjoyed him. As I think Diplomat is his memorable moment. Anytime he said diplomat, it was just, that's my memorable moment. He's made me think more about politics maybe than I've ever done. And good on him. Thank you, Mark, for gracing us. And we hope to see you again, and I think we will see him again.
Okay, Mac, what are your thoughts on Mark now after the season?
It's funny because we based our analysis off a two-minute video in the preseason, and I thought, man, this guy is boring. I said, he's going to go early, he was not exciting, and in the first two episodes, he got my buff for both episodes. I thought he was fantastic, ran the game early on, had a bit of a lull through the swap, and even a lot of the early merge, and then sort of kicked into gear in the last sort of 2 weeks. So, like, started strong, finished strong, and that's not a bad way to be in Survivor. So, really good player, arguably, like, one of the better players of the season. Well, not arguably, he's one of the better players of the season. He's, you know, probably him and Kirby were the two dominating forces, with Ferris was sort of behind the scenes, yeah. Mark was a figurehead. As a character, yeah, I liked him. Probably didn't have that pop off the screen as some other characters would have, but he was still enjoyable. Memorable moment was the smashing of the box illegally. How he got away with it, I'll never know. I'm not sure why they allowed that to happen, but yeah, good on him.
Because it made good TV.
Good on him for pushing the boundaries.
It was controversial.
Exactly. You
know, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. So good on you, Mark. And will he return? I would say he would return. He was good enough TV, and he was certainly a good enough player. So I would expect to see him back one day.
What are your thoughts, Michelle?
Coming into the season, watching his video and reading the bio, I had him as fifth on my list.
Because you have taste, Michelle. You're good at podcasting. You can see, you can vision where these people are from even a 2 minute clip. You can see that Ferris was probably going to be a huge part and possibly win the season, and that Mark was going to be a huge part of it.
Anyone that's listening to this podcast right now, go on Template, watch Mark's video. It will put you to sleep.
But that's why I put him at fifth, because of the intro video. Yeah, wow. You know why? I'm a big advocate for under-the-radar games. So I'm not always looking for big, big players. But, however, first time I ever saw Dino, I'm like, he's got winner in him. And he wasn't an under-the-radar person. But I can see it in under-the-radar people. And that's what his sort of game was a lot of the time. Because we didn't see it. We saw some of his game and then not all of his game. But, you know, memorable moment for me is when he lost it at Tribal Council. And just went off, and I love that. But as a character, he's very quiet, and that's, I'm assuming that's what he's like in real life, because usually people like Diplomat have to listen a lot, you know, very measured in their answers to things, and I think he portrayed that on the show as well.
Yeah.
Except for the Tribal Council when he went crazy.
Hold on,
Caroline. So as a player, she had her moments. I think early on and through the swap, she was dominant. Definitely in the swap, she sort of, that was her moment to shine. And I think once she came into merge, and she sort of spoke about this in a final tribal council, she sort of just tried to get through each vote. She knew the limelight sort of went off her, and she was sort of just scrapping her way to the end without sort of dictating how she got there. She just wanted to get through the next day, which is a valid strategy, but it sort of loses you the game if someone is sitting next to you who's played a better game. So while I think she was good enough to win, I think what a lot of the jury saw was just someone playing to get to the next day rather than playing to win, rather than playing to make decisions. As a character, I actually really enjoyed her. We rarely see someone of her archetype be so dominant, which is, you know, it was fun to see something different, and I really like that about her. She was a bit abrasive. She wasn't like this, I need to be friends with everyone type person. Like, she wasn't trying to play this great social game, which is fine, because that's so human not to do that. Like, not everyone can be that personality, and she obviously isn't that person, and that's totally fine. But she made it work for her, so I respect that. Memorable moment would be maybe some of the confessionals about Malaria, and, you know, she fought the wolf, and the wolves are puppy dogs compared to me, or something like that. Will she return? It's a tough one, because as a character, she wasn't like the most reading television, even though she got a lot of screen time. And maybe her age sort of is a hindrance to having her come back in 5 years, say. So I'm not sure. But either way, I did love Carolyn on my CV screen. I thought she was good for the season.
Michelle, what were your thoughts?
Okay, coming into the season, Caroline, after watching her bio and everything, I had her probably placed halfway. I didn't have her high, but I thought she'd do well. And you know what? She had been in my group for 5 years. She was the only one of my cast who'd been in, of the cast who'd been in for that long. So I thought, well, she's definitely a really good fan of the game and she'll know what she's doing. But then I didn't see her as getting very high. So I was really surprised when she did get high, in the game. And for me as a woman, her most memorable moment when she delivered that line, I'm delivering a blindside and it's a girl. That. I mean, that was one of the best lines I've heard in Survivor. And, you know, I think her game of just switching, flipping, as they say so many times, I don't value flippers. There is a time when you have to flip if, say, there's a tribe swap or there's times for it, but I think she flipped too much and that loses – I don't know. It just loses.
She loses credibility. She loses credibility.
In the game.
Yeah, yeah. Look, what do you think she'll return?
I don't think she would.
Okay. Okay. I disagree, but at the same time, I agree completely with that, Michelle. In this game, yeah, so I'm hedging my bets. I'm a good podcast. I'm hedging my bets. I'm giving it okay, in this season, we can safely say this was voting blocks. She was part of voting blocks, and I don't think she never wavered from her loyalty with her direct people.
Definitely.
Yeah, to Kitty, to Eden, and genuinely, yes, she talked about getting rid of Mark, but she never actually pulled the trigger on him. And that's because she needed him. So, but at the same time, she may have overused the voting block strategy just that little bit more than everyone else, and that's where she possibly lost it at the end, was because she couldn't get a plan together. That's why she failed in her plan to put the idol on Mark. It was because she just didn't have that social credibility, that social capital to make that happen, to know where the votes actually were going, because no one sort of knew where she was going. No one trusted her enough to give her that value, I guess.
And that's where I'm coming from as well.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I agree and disagree. Look, as a character, I loved her. I thought she was amazing. It was great to see someone come out of her archetype be cutthroat in a game. Like, it was just cool to see her be in power for as long as she was. It was great. It was great TV. As a character, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed her. I'm going to just go straight to the memorable moment. It's got to be her line, I've delivered thousands of babies. Like, we heard that 20 times in the pre-merge. It just came up constantly. She was great. Caroline, I love you. I hope you come back on our screens. I think Australian Survivor would probably be happy to have you back, but I'm not sure if you would come back. I'm not too sure what the taste is like in your mouth. I think you, as I said, you deserved at least one vote. I think you played a better game than a zero vote finalist. If I was to talk about zero vote finalists, she's possibly in the top 5% of zero vote finalists.
Yeah, I agree. She needed a vote. I agree. She needed maybe two votes.
Yeah. Two votes would have been perfect, but it's just not the way it happens. These juries just have too much time together and they think the same way by the end of it, I believe. I wish they would split up. I wish they'd just say at the start, let's not say who we're voting for so then no one knows who they're voting for, or something to that effect. Okay, and now let's talk about my man, the man of the hour, the winner, the guy, Ferris. Now, Ferris, Soul Survivor, 2024, Titans versus Rebels. Mate, as a player, brilliant. The best reads in the game quite comfortably. The idle play was extravagant. I think he played to a point that, even though he was definitely the alpha and used alpha strategy, there was definitely beta strategy mixed in there. And I think that's why we've seen him as our winner, because in Australian Survivor, the beta still... It's still part of the Alpha's game. We talk about David. We talk about Mark. They needed that beta at camp to concrete their Alpha-style game. He was brilliant as a character. The smiling assassin, the Arabian prince, the frowning assassin, whoever, whatever you call him, his character was electric. He was absolute fire in confessionals. Brilliant person. Memorable moment. Ooh, winning that last challenge. The idol play. I think giving Alex the idol, how he went about that was pretty cool. And will he return? Please, God, give us Ferris back. We want to see him on our screens. Mate, you're a legend. You're a legend of a bloke. You're just come back on our screens, please. Just start the next season of Survivor now. Like, right now, please. I'm high on Ferris, if anyone didn't work that out.
Yeah.
Michelle, what are your thoughts?
Okay, obviously I had him as my winner pick, not just because of his, you know, the ridiculous amount of commercials he got before it even began, but I just don't know. I just thought he had it in him to win. He looked like he would have a great social game. He's obviously quite fit. Thought he would do well in challenges. As to what we saw on the show, character obviously amazing, obviously electric for, you know, doing confessionals, knew what viewers would like, knew what, you know, production would like, you know, the whole hair flick thing, you know, women were swooning over his hair, for God's sake. The amount of women PMing me about him is just ridiculous. And, you know, I think he knew it, and I think he knew how much he would be wanted in confessionals. And, you know, if you're doing confessionals, you're really popular in the game, and then hopefully production wants you to stay in, and there is a certain amount of
conspiracy.
Sway,
yes.
Favoritism.
For the correct word, yes. I mean, George, obviously, he knows a lot about confessionals. He knows a lot about reality TV, and he once said to me, you know, I know what to say. I know what will, you know, get me on TV more than anybody else. And I think Ferris brought that, and he knew that. I mean, his most memorable moment, God, I had it in my brain just then. What was it? Him trying to get Alex to find the idol. Like, what yes. the hell? Like, what the hell? That will always go down as the funniest. I was just scene laughing ever. My head off. It was just so funny, that scene. Yeah.
Will he return?
Of course.
Of course.
He's already said he wants to return.
Yeah.
All right, let me put a bow on this great winner of this great season. Fantastic gameplay, start to finish. Did a lot of things right. Built the social bonds. Had his little core alliance. Sort of gave himself the leeway to mix and match with people. Very fluid gameplay. I think he was a big part of the reason that voting blocks were established, because he was mingling with everyone. He wanted to work with everyone. So really good in that regard. Found two idols, found a third with Alex, gave it to him. Like, had his finger on the pulse at all times. His reads at Tribal Council, changing the plan at Tribal Council. Like, this does not happen often. And to get people to trust you to do that, it just, you are a top-tier Survivor player if you can do that. So he's done really well. As a character, he's everything you want in a new player as a character. He dominated the confessionals. He just, everything's big and grandiose and this big laugh and everything's, it's all just fun and games, and he's just so good at it. He knows what the camera wants. He's got that big Cheshire grin smile. Just really good character. And yeah, I just love Ferris. I think he's certainly a worthy winner. And he'll go down like as one of the best characters that Australian Survivor's ever produced. Memorable moment. Look, nothing really jumps out overly. When his first idol play where he had the idol underneath his jumper, he takes it off, he's like, is it hot in here? That's probably something. I enjoyed that. And will he return? Look, I guess it has to be a season that winners can play on. But yeah, he would be locked in if that's the case. So yeah, I expect to see him again. If not on Survivor, on another show, probably. He'd be good on The Traitors, I think. He'd be great at that.
Oh yeah, that'd be a very good confessionals on The Traitors. That'd be
well, just
awesome.
His reads. He's very good. He reads the body language, the social cues, when someone's lying. That's all the attributes of a good like Traitors player. So he could do really well.
I know that he just won $500,000, but whoever's hired him, he needs a promotion in HR because I think he's doing wonderful things for your company. Okay. All right. Let's get into the final Buckles buff of the episode for the season. Now, coming into this week, I think it was really awesome because we had the final five players in our top five positions. We had Mark on 10, Ferris on 9, Kirby on 9, Caroline on 4, and Raymond on 3. Obviously, Raymond was tied with a few other players. But I think, yeah, this is it. Like, who wins the buff of the season? Let's kick it off. I'm going to just jump straight in. Mark gets my buff for episode 22. The reason I think Mark gets it is, yes, Ferris had the great idol play. Ferris did the right thing in the long run by voting out Kirby. But Mark won immunity when he needed to. He beat Kirby's long immunity run. He also got Ferris to not keep Kirby in, which to a point it was in Ferris's interests, best interest to keep Kirby in. He made a final deal with Ferris that he was able to use as backfire in the future. And I think overall, Mark gets my player for that episode. So, how about you, Mac?
Episode 22. I've gone with Ferris. At the time, I really thought the voting out Kirby was a mistake. But so I based it only on this episode. But despite that error, he made the deal with Mark to go to the final three, made a deal with Carolyn, and he did the whole idol play with Ray. So, set himself up, saved his ally, and also played an idol for himself. Did everything right except for voting out Kirby, but that's proven to be a great move as well. So, Ferris gets the buff, episode 22.
And Michelle, what was your favourite player of this episode?
I said it was Mark for his tribal council speech, trying to set himself up with the jury. And just, I just love anyone who loses the plot at tribal council. They're, for me, you know, the rest of the episode pales in comparison when someone does that.
Yeah, definitely. No, awesome. Well said. Okay. Now, episode 23, I give my buff to Caroline. Now, Caroline wins at fire. Caroline was never getting three votes. It was stupid to play three votes. I think she set herself up to a certain extent to guarantee that she gets to the end in the next episode. Whereas with Raymond there, there's a chance she, like, Mark possibly takes Raymond. Who knows? This just concretes that she's definitely going into the end. And she goes to fire, wins at fire quite comfortably, goes in knowing she smashed it. She gets my buff for that episode. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, I've gone with Mark. He wins the challenge at Tribal Council. He really takes aim at Ferris. Panders to the jury, sort of setting up his jury speech almost already. He senses at the camp that, you know, Ferris is lying to him. He's like, all deals are off. So for all those reasons, Mark gets the buff.
Okay. And Michelle, this vote here is probably the biggest vote of the season, just saying.
Really?
With who you choose.
No pressure, mate.
I chose Caroline. I mean,
yay!
She won the fire challenge very calmly. Didn't panic, and yeah, that's why I chose her.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, the reason for that is
Please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want to put words in your guys' mouths, but do we all have Ferris for this next episode?
Why don't you just wait and see, mate? Let's just see who we vote for. Do yours.
Well, I do.
Well, I vote for Ferris. Michelle votes for Ferris. Who have you got?
You can't just say it. You need to justify it.
I'm sorry? He won?
Ferris won. He got it. He deserves
it. There's nothing else to say, really.
Well, my calculations are correct. If I vote for Mark, he wins, and that would just knock Buckles down a few notches. So I'm tempted just to do it. It is Buff Sponsites and Banter.
Oh, God.
It is. Okay, come on. Where does your Buff go, mate?
He goes to Ferris, the winner. How do you not give it to the winner?
I thought he was going to say, it's going to Valeria.
Okay. Well, that's it. Okay. We have going out on one vote apiece, one Buff apiece. We had Garrick and Jaden on two Buffs apiece. We had Eden, Charles, Eileen, Kitty, and Rihanna on three. We had Raymond, Scott, and Valeria. They were all tied for fifth. Caroline went out on six. Congratulations, Caroline. Kirby came third on nine. Actually, she came second because we have a tied winner between Mark and Ferris at the end of this season for the Buffs. So that's amazing. That's our first time that someone's tied the Buffs at the end of a season. And I think they're predominantly two of the best characters of the season. Kirby coming second or third, so to speak, is definitely one of the other bigger characters. So I think this reflects on the Buff's leaderboard very, very well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And usually the winner of the Buff is the dominant player. And you could argue that these two were they're both in pole position to win, and when one of them takes it out. So, and Ferris gets three Buffs right at the end in the last episode. So it definitely knocks him over the line to get to first, but well deserved.
Well deserved. Look, if you just didn't give him that extra Buff, that extra Mark Buff. Anyway, Ferris would have won. It's all good. All right, guys, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for this. Thank you, Max. I want to thank you first. Thank you so much for this season. I have had an absolute hoot doing this all with you. The banter has been genius. The strategy has been complicated but fun. And just thanks, mate, for doing this with me. I really enjoy doing this with you.
It was always a pleasure. Look, after doing a couple of US episodes in this new season, it's so much easier to do one episode a week. Having to do three episodes a week when there's voting blocks and there's constant dynamics change, a bit confusing. So looking forward to a little bit of an off-season just with one episode a week. It's just like a breeze.
And Michelle, you were the perfect finale guest. I've had so much fun on this episode, specifically, even with the sort of audio problems that we've had. And thank you so much for your takes, and thank you for supporting Ferris as the winner pick.
No, it's been fun. It's been fun because, you know, I do so many different podcasts, and everyone is so unique. And you guys are different as well, and I love how you do you know, the favorite for each episode, and you break down, you know, people when they leave. And I think it's really good, and it's really individual of you, because I haven't heard that on a Survivor podcast. Like, I don't listen to rap, obviously, so I'm not sure, because I once, you know, I was in a fight with rap, and I'm not going to ever listen to them.
Okay, yeah.
But I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too, great. Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. We love you too, and we definitely will have you on the podcast again. It's been so much fun, seriously. I think you blend in with us perfectly. But tell the listeners what you got going on. Tell us about your fantastic Facebook page. Tell us about the other podcasts that you talk to. Tell us everything. Hit us up. Tell us, how's school going?
School, kindergarten, they're fine. They're crazy. Obviously, I have the Australian Survivor fans group, but I also have Amazing Race, the US group, and the Amazing Race Australia group, which are both, they've both got chat threads at the moment for the US season. I have a hunted group, and the Australian season has just wrapped up recording. But UK season is out right now, and I podcast for that. with a couple of English blokes.
Yeah. Where can they find that?
We can find that on RTV Warriors. If they Google RTV Warriors, there is a webpage to find that. So they've only had one episode of that. So we've only done one podcast. They only have six episodes. So it's really easy to podcast for that one. And I podcast for the Australian Amazing Race season when that comes out later this year, probably October-ish. And, you know, I'm on some of the other podcasts that I guest on as well with different people. The Nullified Take, I'm sometimes on with them. That's for the Amazing Race.
Awesome, awesome. And now Buffs, Blindsides and Banter, obviously.
Yeah.
You now guess with us. So yes, hopefully we can convince you to come on for a US episode at some stage this year.
Oh God. It may be an exciting episode because at the moment
we'll do our best. We'll do our best.
I don't know where you're
okay. How do you fill in time to talk about these episodes? Just talk about Barney crying again.
Oh my God. I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it. Please don't do that to me. Okay. And Mac, what do you got going on?
Oh, mate, it's all happening in the Macri household. We're all a bit sick at the moment. I've got a bit of a flu happening. So my wife's actually away for a hen's party. So it's just me and my daughter. We're just hanging out. US podcast came out. Yeah, we did one with Michael Prionis last week. So that's out now. Check that out if you haven't. And we'll do another US one. I haven't even watched the episode yet, but that'll be coming out very soon over the weekend. So stay tuned for that. What have you got going on, Buckles?
What have I got going on? Mate, we have some player interviews, some possible deep dives coming up. The names possibly been mentioned already on this podcast. We officially have an interview with Ferris, which is going to just be huge for us here at Buffs, Blindsides and Banter. We're in conversation with Mark and Alex for a possible deep dive with Alex and an interview with Mark. So we'll see how that all goes. But we also have the US podcast coming up later, probably tomorrow or the next day or sometime soon. And we have no more Australia Survivor, so we can sleep now, finally. So, guys, hit us up on Facebook at Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. And, of course, on TikTok, Buffs, Blindsides and Banter. I've been Mac. She's been Michelle. She's been Michelle. He's been Buckles. You've been awesome. This is amazing. Thanks, guys.
For the season, I'll let it go.
I just went with it. Yeah, I just went with it. I'm tired. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Is this Survivor? What? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.